Hello and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. We have just barely enough time for me to play this intro before we have to call Blog Talk Radio. So let me begin now.
Hello, I belong to a great family, the family of berries. And you know my cousins, the lovely strawberry, the crunchy blueberry, the tart cranberry, the delicious blackberry, not to mention the refreshing raspberry. Have you recognized me yet? I am the Tayberry. The first time was a long time ago, in 1881, in Santa Cruz, California. The horticulturist James Harvey Logan gave me my first name, Loganberry. This lawyer, an avid enthusiast of horticulture, crossed the blackberry and the raspberry with a simple idea in mind: smaller grains and a milder taste. After that, I was named after each of my new discoverers: Boysenberry, Veitchberry, Youngberry, Marionberry, Olaliaberry. It was Derek L. Jennings in Scotland who filed the patent of my hybrid cross in 1979 and baptized me Tayberry after the River Tay in Scotland, where I had grown up. Then, after being cultivated here and there, after 20 years, I disappeared. Today, I hightailed the bottom of the gardens. Then it was in Brittany, in 2012, that I was bred once again, in a reawakening. Here, on the slopes of the Val Avel, in the orchards of Morbihan, at La Fruitière du Val Avel. But listen to these gentlemen, George and Frederick Gima. They chose me, and finally renamed me La Framboise de Rhône. Bravo, because I sting a little, but I'm not that wild. Right on the contrary.
Industriellement, ça se fait pas. C'est une première mondiale, en fait. Et moi, je pense qu'on va encore changer de méthode de culture. Une éclair, c'est pas rien. Le framboisier. Du blé, c'est rien du tout.
All right, I'm going to pause it there. Because I don't speak very good French, so... Anyhow. So... Yeah, basically, it's had multiple names. So if you have a hard time finding it under Tayberry, it might be under one of those other names.
Well, if I understood it right, the breed went extinct, and they had to rebreed it. And
yeah.
And some of my research showed that Dewberry is achieved by a similar crossbreeding of the same stock. It just came out differently, and it's very common now. Dewberry,
I guess Dewberry might be Dewberry might be the natural cross-pollination of the two, where Tayberry is the purposeful crossing of the two.
Right, and some of the cross breeds that I found, they had taken Tayberry or Loganberry and crossed it yet again.
Okay.
So it's 3/4 raspberry or 3/4 blackberry, you know, whichever way they went. So yeah, people have been having fun crossbreeding the two.
Yeah.
So.
Which is cool.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Might be interesting to talk about the crossbreeding in the after show. So.
The after show.
Yeah, after the blog talk. It should be starting in about a minute.
Yes.
So, to be honest, I'm a little disappointed because you found the fact that there was other crossbreeds.
Uh-huh.
I thought it had something interesting and different to talk about, but nope, you nailed that too.
Oh, you was going to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all good. You'll probably find things I didn't find, and that's why we're doing this, you know, cross-referencing and cross-analyzing, and two brains are better than one. So, it's 10 o'clock. Go ahead and talk while I dial in.
Yeah. Talk about what? Dialing in or just filling space or anyway. Yeah, we got blackberries now on our land. Part of my research was, you know, there's blackberries for all parts of the season. So, you know, if you're raising blackberries, you can literally get blackberries that start out early spring. And you can find other blackberries that right up to the edge of winter. And there's breeds that will fill in every gap in between those two. So, anyway, at one pass, I figure the automated system should be kicking in by now. Interesting.
3, 2, 1. Oh. Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. Let's take common grass. Did you know you can make tea out of it? That's right. Grass tea is used as a diuretic for kidney stone prevention, urinary inflammation, incontinence, expelling worms, hemorrhoids, skin conditions like rash. It's also used for lung conditions like bronchitis, colds, fever, infections. The roots can be chewed as a licorice-tasting food or made into a flour and are used for digestive and stomach issues. That's right. Yeah, grass. It's insane what people don't know. This weed is one of the most nutritious, delicious greens there is. Even better than spinach. It was used a long time ago by farmers to fatten up their livestock. You probably have 10 different things growing within walking distance of your house right now that are great, healthy, non-caffeine coffee substitutes. Plants that help you quit smoking. Plants that help you lose your desire for alcohol and detox your body while they're at it. What plants are a good substitute for milk or beer or even root beer? What plants make a good perfume? Which ones are good repellents for ants, moths, and mosquitoes? What common weed makes an awesome shampoo and soap? Which plant makes a soap for delicate fabrics that normally can't be washed with harsh chemicals? What's a good plan for bed bugs? This is not just a book for recognizing wild and unknown plants. It's also a dictionary and a health reference guide to all those revolutionary healing herbs you've been hearing so much about and what they're used for. This plant, for example, boosts your sex life so much it's been outlawed in several states. You might not be able to buy it, but it might be growing right there in your neighborhood. Every drug that medicine uses out there was originally made from a plant. Plants can feed you, help heal your health conditions. You can make clothing with them, and you can build your home with them. They can power your electricity and fuel your car. Plants can even protect your home from break-ins. Find out which ones are good for that. It's all in this book. Which plant is good for arguing couples? This plant has wax to make candles with. Which plant has a bubblegum flavor? What plants are good thickeners for soups and food? What common household flowers are edible? It's time we put everything in one book. All the plants, garden plants, wild plants, potted plants, trees, landscaping, everything. What nuts taste like cheddar cheese when steamed? What common worldwide plant is eaten in India where people have the lowest cancer rates?
Sure, wheatgrass is great, but what about crabgrass? What about those amazing and powerful herbs you've heard so much about from South America? Did you know people are growing them in their homes all over the world? When I say edible plants, I mean all plants, because you now have access to all of them everywhere. Geographic region doesn't matter anymore either, because the world is becoming one. People are growing pineapples and goji berries in their own homes, even up north where it's cold. Did you know you can grow kiwis that can handle 30 below zero? I'm about to open up a whole new world for you of unlimited possibilities and put you in charge of having access to any free food and medicine you could ever want, including the most famous healing herbs in the world. I am empowering you here. You're not just at the mercy of what's randomly growing near you. You now have the power to grow almost anything you want, any plant from anywhere in the world on your property, no matter where you live. It's your life. Start grabbing it by the reins and start doing what you want. That's what I'm here for, is to show you how. Why did I include normal grocery store fruits and vegetables in this book? Because there's lots of wild carrots and grapes and asparagus and stuff growing out there, and most people have no clue what a wild carrot even looks like if they saw one, or mustard. If you saw this growing, would you eat it? You know what this is? It's celery. This, on the other hand, is poison hemlock. You got to know the difference. Most people have no clue. We need to start from scratch. When I say edible plants, I mean all edible plants. What are peely nuts and jackfruit good for? Which super powerful plants are good for fighting sexual diseases? What plant will not burn and makes a great fire barrier around your home? I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full-color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Amazing. Yeah.
Once you get it. I was about to say, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, we like this book so much, and other books like it, that we basically named our podcast after it.
Oh, yes.
And we're essentially using the book as the premise for our podcast, as well as giving him free advertising and encouragement at that, because, you know, not enough people are following him as should be, as well as other people who are doing similar things.
Right.
You know, he gets discouraged every once in a while because people, it seems people don't care. And there are people out there that care. And so this is an extension. I'm taking the torch. We're taking the torch and running with it for multiple reasons, to show him not to give up and others not to give up, and to also help encourage others to be healthy and learn these things, because it's a wonderful thing. That being said, I mean,
nature provides, you know.
Right. God said he would provide for the, you know, he provides for the birds and the bees. He'll provide for yous and me's.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not supposed to worry about our food and our clothing, you know, and that's pretty much basically everything we need. You know, to be honest. you know, that and shelter. All right.
Right.
And our modern world, not the planet, but, you know, the society that we're surrounded by, wants to separate us from those things.
That's true.
So what's today's free food and medicine that we're talking about?
Well, unfortunately, it's not in the book, but we are talking about tayberry today, and it has a few different names. If you listen to the long version, once I get it uploaded to freefoodandmedicine.org, you'll hear more about it. And we've already announced some of the names prior to logging into Blog Talk Radio. But the new common name is tayberry. It was also called loganberry and a couple others. I think loganberry was the first official name. But it's now officially called tayberry, T-A-Y-B-E-R-R-Y. And it's a cross between the raspberry and a blackberry.
Right.
Yep. And I believe the purpose was to make it less intense, because the raspberry is kind of mild and the blackberry is kind of aggressive. And so the tayberry was supposed to be, or loganberry originally, was supposed to be kind of like a more mild blackberry.
Can it happen?
Or, you know, somewhere in between. Somewhere in between, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure there are brambles in the book.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll look under brambles.
And this is a bramble. All right. And I don't know if I understood her right, but it sounded like in the intro that you played before Blog Talk, did she suggest that it was related to strawberries?
No.
Okay. It's
in the berry family.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of different berries, but yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So she's just saying it was one of the berries. Okay. All right. I look at brambles and I look at roses and they're not quite constructed the same. All right. You know, it'd take a little bit of convincing to tell me they're in the same family. And strawberries are supposed to be in the rose family. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know that they are in the rose family, but, you know, that's what the books tell me. Anyway. So, tayberries. What are they good for?
Well, it's more of a food than medicine, but I haven't got any specifics. Hang on a second. I'm trying to find this in the book. I thought I said 375, but it's not 375. Let me look again. I haven't got any nutritional facts on it except for nutritional value is rich in bioflavonoids, high in vitamin C, high in antioxidants, offers folic acid, fiber, and folates.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's a really healthy, high vitamin C food that you can grow. And it's hardy. I think it has thorns, but it looks like a blackberry. It's elongated like some blackberries. But when you pull it off the vine, it pulls off the vine like a raspberry.
Yeah. That's cool. That gets rid of that center. Yeah. There's like a little cone.
Yeah.
That.
Right.
yeah,
like the dewberry has a big, you end up eating part of that.
That yeah, it's a kind of a pithy cone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a stem, where the raspberry and the tayberry leaves the stem behind.
Right. Okay, so you're just getting berry. Yeah, because raspberries, the claim to fame on raspberries is you're just eating the berry. Whereas blackberries...
Right, well, that other stuff's good for you, too, I'm sure.
Well, you know, I can't say for sure, but, you know, like, orange peel. If you eat the white portion of an orange peel, that's your vitamin B. All right? That white stuff with the seeds on it inside your peppers, your bell peppers, that has vitamin B. Okay? So the white stuff inside your fruit, you know, inside the skin of your fruit, often has vitamin B in it. Okay? Whereas, you know, the fruit itself will be vitamin C. And so, you know, I'm just guessing, just speculating, that maybe that little white part inside your blackberry might have vitamin B in it. So, just saying. So, just a speculation, though. I don't know that for sure. I'd have to look it up. So.
Yeah, it also says here that it's not high in protein, but it's got 33 IUs of vitamin A, 2.5 E or 14 grams of calcium in a berry, I guess. And or maybe this is a measurement, or in a certain whatever. So it's got calcium, vitamin A, iron, magnesium, and of course fructose and fiber. Let's see here, recipes. You can make wine, you can make jelly, jam.
Juices?
There's juices, puris. That's some recipes that they got. Wikipedia. Looking at Wikipedia now. The zones, basically, anywhere you can grow blackberry and raspberry, you should be able to grow tayberry. Let's see. It plant needs protection below negative 15 degrees Fahrenheit. So we... In the Midwest or in Missouri, we typically get, you know, negative 10 at our worst. So anywhere in the Midwest or South, maybe even a little bit North, should be okay. Can't grow. We can grow the 30 below kiwis, but you may not be able to grow them as far north as you can those kiwis. You can only do 15 below.
Yeah, I don't know about below kiwis, but...
It's got to be a hybrid. You know, where they cold stress them?
Right. Yeah, maybe that's what they did in order to achieve that.
So. Right. So it's a really good, healthy berry that you can grow as an alternative to the other berries, you know, or in addition to, because, I mean, we plan on making a food forest in Missouri. we want to have a little bit of everything, you know. Like we were saying before this podcast started, the dewberry, we assume, it appears to be that the dewberry is also a cross between a raspberry and a blackberry, but one that
went the other way.
Accidental. Yeah, it's an accidental.
I don't know if it's accidental or not, but it looks like it went the other way. It's more blackberry than raspberry. I think it's wilder in flavor. Say what?
I found a typo in the book. When you look up blackberries, it says it's on page 375, but if you go to page 375, it's seaweed.
Oops.
Which is a topic we can probably talk about next week, but we're supposed to be talking about the herbs that repair DNA next week.
Ah, you found it.
Oh, yeah, we found it last week.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to grow some of that one.
Yeah, so listen to last week's podcast, and you'll know what we'll be talking about next week.
Yeah, we'll have to grow some of that and feed it to our plants as well as ourselves.
I know, that's right. So we got some pretty good, healthy blackberries on our land. So raspberries and tayberries should do good as well.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing that we want to grow, or I want to grow, because mulberries, we like mulberries. We got a really good mulberry tree on our land. We'd like to get more of those. But
elderberry?
Elderberry, definitely. Yep. Now I forgot what it was called. The one that they want, that you need, the one that tastes like bubblegum.
Oh, yeah, the chi. The chi.
Che, yeah.
Che.
The che fruit. Yeah. Okay. Raspberries are on page 78. And they show different types of raspberries. But doesn't say anything about a tayberry.
Right.
So we'll read what Marcus Rothkranz has to say about blackberries and raspberries. I'll read the raspberry if you want to read the. No, you can read the raspberry while I look up the blackberry.
That might be a good trick, seeing as I don't have the book handy and I'm in the dark.
Well, fine. Be that way.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to make you read the long one.
Yeah.
All right. I found blackberry. It's on page 70. So I'll read that first. And then I'll read the raspberry as well. So. I'm not as good of a reader as David, so bear with me. Blackberry. Apparently, there are 375 different species of blackberries.
Wow.
The best known berry in the world. Basically, black raspberries. Look like mulberries, but grow on a vine, called brambles in the UK. Entire plant is edible, although you may not want to eat the entire plant. Including the roots. Now, the roots might taste good. I don't know what they taste like, but you might want to take the thorns off the rest of it before you eat it. Or dry it out and grind it up and make powder out of it. The goats love it. Let's see. Young shoots coming out of the ground in the spring are great raw in salads. I guess that's before they get their thorns. Leaves leaves and roots, or leaf and root tea used for general health, digestive, diarrhea, dysentery, hemorrhoids. There you go. That's for the guys.
Sore throat. Suffer from hemorrhoids also.
Yeah, well, probably. I usually hear guys having that problem. Well, you know, to be honest, hemorrhoids are from not pampering yourself. Probably partially a nutritional deficiency. But women tend to pamper themselves. They pamper their bodies, where guys don't. So guys tend to get more skin, weird skin stuff. Unless the women are wearing, like, too much makeup and lotions that have chemicals
hemorrhoids?
In them.
Hemorrhoids.
I'm not talking about hemorrhoids. I'm talking about skin problem.
Okay,
but I think hemorrhoids are mostly from, I don't know, I'm not an expert on hemorrhoids, but I think hemorrhoids is from, one, having too much constipation, and two, using too much rough toilet paper and not, you know, lotioning your buttocks. Which is why I use baby wipes. Anyways, okay. So, hemorrhoids, sore throats, gum disease, it's good for a mouthwash. I know this word, but I can't pronounce it for some reason. It's cystitis. C-Y-S-T-I-T-I-S, cystitis. Gout. I know gout seems to be a growing problem. I keep hearing people having gout. So blackberry root, blackberry leaves, it's good for gout. Super high in antioxidants and vitamins. Seeds have omega-3 and 6 fatty acids, although you may not be able to digest the seeds unless you chew them up. Blackberry leaves contain a newly discovered anti-aging, anti-wrinkle wonder fluff that fights MMP, whatever MMP is. Enzymes that break down collagen and elastin, making your skin loose and saggy and wrinkly. So there you go, ladies.
Right.
Blackberry leaves.
Do you eat it or you rub it on your face?
I think you eat it. You might scratch your face up if you rub it up in your face. Or powder it and put it in like a lotion. Or make a tincture out of it.
Right. Well, we got plenty of blackberries. Maybe we make a bath out of it.
Hey, we might be able to create the...
90 the seconds.
The fountain of youth on our land.
Fountain of Youth.
DD&D, Fountain of Youth, Stockton, Missouri.
Yeah.
We're running out of time, so I'll finish this real quick. Let's see here. Blackberry leaf extract also has elastin.
60 seconds.
Boosting properties. Berries hold very... Berries mold very quickly, especially when wet. Mold. White, 5-petal flowers. Most plants have thorns. Oh, there are thornless blackberries.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, You can listen to the rest of this podcast at freefoodandmedicine.org once I get it uploaded. We will continue the rest of the podcast there. So give me a few days or a couple weeks, and I will have that uploaded, and you'll be able to listen to it. Unless you're listening to this in a couple weeks, then it should already be there.
10 seconds.
Finally catching up with that. So there you go. I guess we'll see you on the other side.
All righty.
Okay, we're on the other side.
And folks, I apologize for being in the dark because, you know, I could do some reading also, but frankly, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. You know. It says here, of course, we already know this and we pretty much already said this. Best to use leaves only when dried. Root is mostly astringent part.
Right.
I'm not sure what that means.
I'm not sure either. I should know. I read it plenty of times and I look it up every time, but I never remember. Yeah, there's some basic characteristics to herbs and such that you really should learn thoroughly, and I have to say I'm delinquent on them. You know, there's astringent and there's that's the problem. I can't remember all these weird terms.
I hear you. Here's the raspberry, and it's a lot longer. So, a super multi-use wonder plant. The berries are great, but the leaves provide a different nutritional value that you can't get from the berries. Plants can produce berries three times a year. The edible leaves come up early in the spring and keep coming out all year until cold frost. Leaves make a great tea. Raspberry is an astringent, stimulant, cancer fighter, parasite killer, helps get rid of diarrhea, soothes wounds and ulcers, stomach ailments, diarrhea, which it already said that once. Good for pregnancy. That's the that's just a fruit. They also say the leaves are good for pregnancy as well. I'm sure we'll say that in here in a little bit. So the fruit is good for pregnancies or pregnancy. I don't know what this word is. Menses, M-E-N-S-E-S. Uterine relaxant, so it's good for the uterus, high in vitamin C, tones muscle membranes, kidneys. Okay, so it's good for the kidneys, good for the urinary tract, assists arrests hemorrhaging.
Oh. So if you're bleeding out, the leaves?
The berry. Maybe both.
Let's see how you go about that.
You rub it into the wound?
Yeah,
or...
I guess. Well, yeah, eating it and or rubbing it into the wound.
Shove it down their throat.
Yeah.
Silly joke. No, I don't do that, folks.
Just joking.
Yeah, look into it. See what it's good for. See how you use it.
It also helps with excessive vaginal discharge, which
right.
I think is something. I think that's something that you want to prevent during birth or pregnancy. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, some people, some women have extra heavy periods, you know.
So. Oh, I thought that meant wetness, not bleedingness.
Oh, well, I could be wrong. I'm not a woman. That's a woman problem. I should probably know, though, if I'm going to talk about herbs and such, you know, even though I'm a man. Might help if we get ourselves
right.
a herbalist woman in our conversation.
That would help. I'm not well versed with the feminine issues and body parts and whatnot. Probably more versed with the body parts than I am their issues. But I am somewhat knowledgeable, and that one throws me. So, okay. So anyways, it's good for a mouthwash. It's good for bleeding gums. Canker sores can be applied as a tea. Let's see here. It tonifies and cleanses tissues and organs, purifies and strengthens the blood. A great plant for women because it tonifies, strengthens, and mends the whole reproductive system. Now, for somebody who wants kids, there you go.
Yeah.
If you don't want kids, maybe you might want to not worry about that too much. Anyway,
right, I'll be drinking lots of raspberry tea, ladies.
That's for the ladies. So you want your woman to be drinking and eating and consuming as much raspberry products and byproducts as possible.
Right.
If you want lots of children.
Healthy children.
It regulates the menses. The menses, whatever that is, M-E-N-S-E-S.
I believe you're pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah. Great before and during pregnancy. Facilitating easier labor. Always a good thing.
There you go.
Also strengthens and nourishes the male reproductive system. There you go, David.
Hey.
For people who have diarrhea in the winter, hang on, it's hyphenated. Make sure I read the right line. Okay. For people who have diarrhea in the winter, even though the raspberry bushes have no leaves or fruit, take a few inches of the stem or stick, break it up, and make a tea out of it. So you can take the old dried up stems and make
okay.
a tea out of them.
So the stems
this
that you're removing...
Clear. Right. Use them for herbs.
Use them for teas and stuff and shit in the winter. Yeah, because if you want to maintain your patch, you go through and remove the second year growth because your brand new growth this year will produce berries next year. And then once the berries are produced, then you remove that whole cane because it won't produce anymore, except on a breed that I have up front, which is supposed to produce twice. It produces the year it comes up, which is unusual, and then it produces the next year.
But once it turns brown and dies off, then you can...
Yeah, once it dies off, remove it. Yep, remove it so you have more room to reach around and dig. And I got to tell you, those dry sticks, they poke you worse than the fresh green ones.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Because the fresh green ones, the thorn will actually let go if you tug hard enough. It'll still make you bleed, but at least it lets go of the stem. Whereas the dried up brown ones tend to really get you.
Yep. So, yeah, in the winter, you can take the dried up sticks and make tea out of it, and that will help with diarrhea and probably some other issues, too. This should clear up the diarrhea. It calms and it calms the intestinal tract and slows down the loss of fluids. Raspberry seeds are one of the best sources of elagic acid.
Yeah, I have
which
no
is
idea what
great
that is.
For, okay. Which is great for fighting fungus, mold, yeast, or even cancer.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, men and women who get fungus and yeast problems or have too much fungus or yeast in their body, bam, there you go. And, you know, cancer, yeah, definitely. Don't want that. Get rid of that. It inhibits the fungal and yeast enzymes, and it pronounces or it tells you what kind of enzyme that it's neutralizing, basically inhibiting. Chitin synthesis 2, whichever one that is.
Yeah, sadly, which, I usually skip the complicated words, but I. Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to.
Well, anyways, apparently it inhibits the certain enzyme which all funguses and yeasts need to grow.
There you go.
When they die at a natural. When they die at the natural end of their life cycle, they cannot be replaced as long as the chitin synthesis 2 enzyme is inhibited.
Okay.
So if you got nail fungus, eat lots of raspberries.
Or rub it on your toes.
Or, yeah, rub it on your toes. And raspberry leaves.
Raspberry jelly.
Right? It's going to be a regular part of my diet now. My nail fungus isn't real bad, but I know people who do have it real bad. I've been able to keep mine pretty much under control. But I like sweets, and I think that's the general cause of mine is too much sugar in my body.
Right.
Mostly I'm getting better at it. I don't crave sweets as much. I do eat more fruits than I used to, more natural sugars. But I used to have this real bad addiction to pastries, and I still love them, but I don't eat them as much as I used to, so I'm doing better. Maybe. Since this is not a human enzyme, its inhibition does not harm, does us no harm. Ellagic acid also unspools bacterial DNA, and so bacteria dies. It also tells cancerous cells to self-destruct so tumors can't grow. Yeah. We already got our synopsis on cancer. And all this is found in the seeds. Oh, that's right. It's the seeds of the red raspberry.
So
we need to eat more raspberry seeds.
And chew them.
Grind them up.
So if we press the juice, we should collect the resultant seeds that are left behind and grind them up for a flour.
Yes.
And probably use like a magic bullet to grind up just what you're going to eat right now, because you want to keep it fresh.
That's true, because like marijuana seeds have a lot of omega-3s and stuff like that. Now, but if you grind them up and, you know, people sell hemp seed, you know, ground hemp seeds, they lose that omega-3 and the other nutrients is over time if you break the shell. So you want to break the shell fresh. So what I suggest is put them in like a pepper grinder and grind them on your food. And probably the same with raspberry seeds.
There you go. Yeah, because, you know, nutrients oxidize.
Yeah. One guy that I know likes to crush his hemp seeds or pot seeds fresh and then simmer them in olive oil or something like that. And then he uses it on like pastas and like pasta meals and stuff like that. Anything that you would put butter on, basically.
Okay.
It says here, the seed needs to be broken open to release the good stuff. So freezing, powdering, blending, and grinding is recommended. Oh, because the freezing causes it to crack, maybe. Raspberries can be red, black, or yellow. Almost identical to blackberries. So basically, all the properties of a blackberry and a raspberry are potentially in the tayberry. Since we can't find anything on the tayberry in this book, I looked up raspberries and blackberries for you. And so, yeah, those are the potential. I can't say exactly what the tayberry is going to be good for, but if it's a cross between those two, chances are it's going to have a lot of the similar qualities and attributes.
Yep.
And it makes a good pie, wine, or jam.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia has a good breakdown of different nutrient contents. I'm not going to read them all, but just go to Just Google Tayberry, T-A-Y-B-E-R-R-Y, and look at the Wikipedia. Good stuff. So, yeah, I'd like to grow some Tayberries. I want to grow a little bit of everything on our land. Anything we possibly can grow that is food and or medicine. I want to grow it.
Yep. Yep. Well.
According to this website, it's maybe not high, but it's got good proteins, carbohydrates, vitamins 33 IU. Okay, it just says vitamins. Calcium, iron. It says iron twice for some reason. Let's see. Oh, okay. It's good for your hair and skin. It says here, make a paste of tayberries and apply it to your hair and skin twice a week. You'll get a silky, smooth skin and glowing hair as a result. The result comes from the abundance of antioxidants in the fruit. So what are you waiting for? Find the tayberry and get excellent skin and hair. It's good for whitening your teeth, provides iron. It probably cleans your teeth just because of eating it with the berries and stuff like that. It helps prevent colon cancer, specifically this one says. Enhances digestion, but also prevents diarrhea. Heals wounds and gum bleeding. It delays signs of aging and lowers cholesterol.
repair your arteries and veins.
Yeah. Regenerates and repairs body cells. Helps to grow DNA and RNA.
There you go.
Prevents neural tube defects in infants.
Okay. That, well, yeah, it's obviously, I'm not sure what a neural tube is.
Me either. I'm just reading a website. I'm not sure how accurate that is either, so. Do your own homework, we always say.
Yep.
I trust Marcus Rothkranz. He is very diligent about doing his homework. So I trust probably 90% of what he says, because there is some of his own opinions or you know, he has certain biases. So there's some things that, you know, he might be about maybe 10% off according to my biases, but you know, I trust what he has to say. I would say 90%. But even still, I do my own homework.
Yeah, and he tests the stuff on himself. You know, so it's not like
Yeah. He's not animal testing. He's human testing on his own human self. So there's a lot of good stuff out there on Tayberry. You just got to know what to look for. And now you do, because we just told you. Tayberry. I never heard of it until I was doing research on Chayberry.
Okay.
When I was doing research on the Chayberry, I found out about the Tayberry. So there you go. Anything else?
You're winding down. I'd say we're both pretty tired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a long day. So I climbed 3 trees today.
Oh, my.
I know. There were not big jobs.
Yeah, Chambers is up there with you.
All right. Yeah, we did some work on the land this morning. Then I drove from Stockton to Kansas City, went tree trimming, and basically climbed and trimmed 3 trees, chipped them, and got ready for the podcast, doing the podcast, and now I'm ready for bed.
You're ready.
All right. So, yeah, check out Manic Monday Podcast to see all of our podcasts, manicmondaypodcast.com. And obviously you'll find this podcast at freefoodandmedicine.org. And, you know, don't forget to check out the Blog Talk Radio portion at freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com or blogtalkradio.com/freefoodandmedicine. And, of course, don't forget to check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com. And if you want to give me credit for it, then go to freefoodandmedicine.net. Yes, and I guess that's it. Well, pardon?
Yeah. Please give us credit.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can use the extra couple dollars that from that to support the podcast and the farm and the other good things that we try to do.
Yep.
So. And it also helps support Marcus Rothkranz. So, and he's doing a lot of good things too.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. He's vegan, we're kosher, but, hey, you know, what do you know? Let me think. Oh, yeah. Once again, our next podcast is going to be on herbs that repair the DNA. And obviously, raspberry is supposedly one of them. So not raspberry, tayberry is one of them. We didn't know that till today. So there you go. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Talk to you next week.
All right, bye. Good night.